Well, good morning. It is 9:12. I don't know if today will be an ideal day to be out in the yard and garden. Maybe a little shower this afternoon or two, but it's going to be brisk and chilly. High only around 54, 45 now. Tomorrow looks a little bit better. Sunny with a high 64. And now let's welcome your host for Over the Garden Fence, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Andy, good morning.
Larry, thank you for having me this morning.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's a little chilly this morning, but you're right. You're right. I think gardening, you got to be a professional gardener today to be outside, you know.
And a professional golfer. I see those guys out there. It's like I couldn't, as much as I love to play golf, I used to.
Yeah.
Couldn't be out there in this kind of weather. But as we've talked about, we kind of expected a slow, very gradual spring after the kind of winter that we had.
Right.
It was just stand to reason. So.
Yep. Yep. So there's still lots to do, Larry, out in the yard.
Oh, yeah.
There is. And as this weather is getting us further and further behind, let's get to our notes.
All right.
So I'm going to make Larry laugh for a second here. So, hey, everybody, what is the big deal with the weather? You guys at KZO, did you guys order all this?
No, not a chance.
Larry,
if we had, it would be just gorgeous out.
That's right. Larry, I hope. Hopefully you guys just tell the weather, not order it.
That's how it works.
So you know what?
Unfortunately.
Folks, on May 17th, sunny and freezing at 36. Fortunately, you know what? I don't see any frost on the ground this morning. And earlier in the week, there was a little ice in the bird bath on Thursday AM and a little frost in that truck window when I went to work. I've always been told, in like a lion, out like a lamb. Well, I guess this year it's in like a lion, out like a lion this year. So, you know, as I gathered my notes this morning, I just, like I told Larry, the list keeps growing as this weather getting us further and further behind. The cool weather and dewy mornings, there's just a lot to do and not able to always get it done until the evening when you can get out in the yard a little bit better. So a couple things on our list that I thought would be important would be if you have issues with fruits the last couple years, and I know it has been very wet and cool. If you did get your dormant oil spray on a month or so ago, I would really suggest looking at things like apple scab, peach leaf curl, with maybe a fruit tree spray. What we're suggesting is if it is in flower, to please hold off on spraying. Let the bees do their work. And once that petal drop, especially if you have problems with like peach leaf curl, apple scab, black knot, all those that have issues with our peaches, apples, pears, and cherries. As I looked out driving there this morning, I can see a lot of people could use some weed control. That dandelion crop is really flourishing. So from the lawns to the flower beds to the driveways, with the spring rains, all the weeds are growing very well. Either hitting in the lawn with the Fertilom or the Max Lawn weed and feed, or you can just do the Fertilom weed free zone mixed with spreader sticker, go through there, and you could definitely hit the lawn right now. The weeds or the plant itself is growing very well. When that plant is growing, it can take up the control, and within days, you'll see that dandelion start to curl. Last week, we had a caller call in. Last couple weeks on rhubarb. I just did a little research, and she was having problems with getting that rhubarb to perform. And just kind of doing some reviews and talking with George, it's actually rhubarb can probably stay for years and years and years in the same spot without being transplanted. Once that rhubarb's energy starts leaving, chances are it might have gotten some competition. Rhubarb does not like competition. And so if you need to get the grass away, the quack, the crab, anything that is competing, it will smother that out faster than any disease or issues with a rhubarb. And there is very little problems with rhubarb other than it's a heavy feeder. It loves compost and cow manure and other nutrients down the ground. Cocoa mulch, dairy dew would be highly suggested, but not on the crown. Put it around the base of the plant, work it under into the plant, and try not to place it on the crown. If you see that happening too. And just so everybody knows, the leaves of the rhubarb are definitely poisonous. But getting that fresh new stems, getting some vigor. If you guys want to move that rhubarb, you want to do it definitely when it's dormant. I think 10 days, 2 weeks ago, it might have been sprouting a little bit, but now it's in full swing. I would probably wait till late August or early September for you to go ahead and move that around once it starts going dormant. I also had a caller or somebody in the store this week really having some challenges with their vegetable beds. They're doing some raised gardens and still having some problems. And when we talked to the client, they had just grabbed topsoil, bulk topsoil, got it loaded. When they got it from a local supplier in Kalamazoo, they smelled the stench or the very heaviness of the clay soil they put in. They went ahead and placed it and planted all their plants. And most of those plants did very poor. They just sat there and had quite a challenge. They brought a lot of the plants in for ID, for a description of what was happening. And, you know, they placed the raised gardens. They did what they were told. When we found out they had just placed heavy ground, mostly clay ingredients, we felt right away we knew what was the problem. So I'm going to go real fast through George's recipe for great flower and vegetable beds. The concept is aeration, nutrients, not just heavy topsoil. I think a lot of people think that, hey, let's start out fresh, get some great topsoil in, and really topsoil has zero nutrients. So this is just an idea for the following ingredients into the top 5 inches of the gardening area. The following should condition approximately about 100 square foot or a 10 by 10 or a 5 by 20. These are just ideas to make healthiness in the ground. Again, before I go, I was talking to another client, and all they were trying to do is buy sand just to get the clay to break up. And when I finally got a chance to talk to him, talking about clay soil conditioner, having no idea that there is actually a product that will loosen and soften clay up, having problems with just watering, and the water just would stand on top of the soil, never soaking in. So George's recipe for great flowering vegetable beds are, we'd like to start with year one. We'd like to go with a 4 cubic foot of perlite, 2 bags of Dairy Dew organic compost cow manure, 4 cubic foot of the sphagnum peat moss, 1 bale is what that is, 25 pounds of healthy garden organic fertilizer, and 2 1.4-quart mites, annual and perennial, or Mike's Vegetable Garden Mycorrhiza. Use Fertilome water-soluble plant food or Fertilome organic fish emulsion in June and July. Now in year two, once you get that set, you get that product in there, mix thoroughly into the soil, year two, 10-pound bag of healthy garden organic fertilizer, 1 more bag of Dairy Dew organic compost, and 1 of the Mike's 1.4-quart mycorrhiza. Still use your water-soluble fish food or your plant food, and really we'll see a great results from that. Bullfrogs and Butterflies is a daycare facility next to Waddell's, and they have over the years worked with a nice vegetable garden, and we have tilled the beds for them and got it prepared, and they had mild success and sold some vegetables, set up a little fruit stand. We let them set up a fruit stand 1 year inside Waddell so they could sell their produce. Not much luck. The kids had a great time, but again, did not flourish very good because of very heavy soil. We went ahead and they built some raised gardens this week. I had my older son, Zach, bring over a lot of these same products and then went ahead and did the leaf garden compost in there, nice light mix, put in the Dairy Dew and the perlite, and now we'll have some kids have a little success. And the idea is to get the next generation to have some success. That way these kids each day can get out, look at their journal, measure the plants as they're growing. It's going to be a lot of fun for them. And we're just trying to help you with vegetable and flower success. Now, when we come back, Larry, have you ever heard of plant lust
Yes, I think I have heard that term.
Yeah, there's a common cure for that that I can talk about.
Okay, sounds great. If you have a question for Andy this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280 over the garden fence. We'll be right back. It is 822.
You'll need to hurry. There's only a few more days for big savings during the 68th anniversary celebration at Woodell's Garden Center. Here's a question for you. How many times do you want to plant a tree, shrub, or flower in the same place? Well, obviously, only once. That's why Woodell's has 8 Michigan State Certified Nursery Specialists on staff to advise you on which plants, fertilizers, and pest controls you'll need to obtain the best soil conditions. To celebrate their anniversary, Woodell's has many of their landscape plants on sale. Dappled willow shrubs are just $19.68, and flowering dogwood trees are now $39.99. Brighten up your landscape with top-quality annual plants. This week, petunia and begonia plants are just $11.68. Tomato plants are $1.68, and all vegetable and flower seed packets are 25% off. Woodell's nursery specialist suggests planting with Espoma Organic Plant Food. All 3 sizes of Espoma Plant Tone are on sale, and for your veggies, you can get organic Espoma Garden Tone and Tomato Tone for $5.88. Don't miss the final days of the big 68th anniversary celebration at Woodell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman and 12th Street.
And welcome back to Over the Garden Fence. Once again, here's your host, gardening expert, Andy Woodell. Andy?
Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us today on this nice, cool gardening morning. So I asked Larry a question earlier, and I want to ask all you guys, have you ever heard of plant lust? And, you know, I'm trying to be polite here at the same time. I know we're mixing a little two words together, but plant lust is a common side effect of gardeners. Even photographs will arouse the sleeping giant of acquisition. I've seen in darkened seminars or talks where the audience gave out a ooh or a ah of a close-up shot of a certain plant or a flower. I've actually seen customers and employees hug plants. I know I've hugged my weeping larch many times over the years. It's the softest foliage cascading down. You just can't resist it. You don't realize how powerful a plant's charisma is sometimes. One of our sales floor managers was picking out some really cute plants from our perennial area. You just couldn't help but stop and look at the cartful she had picked and just kind of oohing and eyeing on everything. We had plant geeks actually stopping and looking and admiring in that cart. Do you realize plants inspire, plants heal, plants provide life? Actually, without them, we wouldn't even be there. Plants provide oxygen, take up carbon, provide shade in the summer, protection in the winter, from raw materials to erosion control to beautification, from out in the yard to the landscaping to the commercial. And the love of a beautiful plant is where Woodell's comes in. Call me what you will, a hortaholic, a plantaholic. I've been called a rockaholic before. I love plants. Deep, rich colors, great texture, great flower, and extremely hardy. Versatile, manageable, or sustainable. If the plants perform, the plants are good, and the plants do well for our clients, it's going to be at Woodell's. So I can go into more ideas, and you guys all know how we like plants at Woodell's, but we could take a caller, Larry, and we could get back to that in a few
minutes.
Let's
do that.
If you want.
All right. Let's welcome to the show Mark in Portage. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Good. I just had a question. I have a maple tree in the front yard, and the roots are, you know, they must not be deep roots, you know, but they keep protruding.
Mm-hmm.
What's your suggestion? Is it good to, someone told me it's not good to put too much dirt around the base of the tree, or?
Yep. Mark, think of water under my nose compared to over my nose. It's only 1 inch difference, but boy, I don't survive when the water's over my nose. Think okay. of a maple the same way. It's been growing. All those roots are doing, Mark, they're reaching for air. They're trying to breathe. And so those roots surface. So we suggest if you're trying to cover, to top dress lightly a couple times a season instead of somebody coming in with 6 inches of soil, dumping on it, and putting a roll block around the tree and making it suffer. What we suggest is maybe going through with a quarter or a half inch, even 3/8 of an inch, and work it in around those roots. Give the plant time. then reapply maybe in July or August. Just doing a little bit at a time, you'll probably see that root slowly disappear. Is that a quick result? No, but it will at least help as your mower goes in up and over, and it won't scalp it. Number two, Mark, I've been told you could possibly relieve part of that root by slicing the top half off, leaving the root in place, because a lot of times if you cut a big root, Mark, you'll see next year a big branch will die.
Right.
You know, and so I've been shown where you can slice in part of the root. I don't always suggest it, but slice off the top half. You're leaving all the fibrous roots attached to that big root, and you could do a tree paint or a tree wound dressing over that root structure that was exposed in the lawn. Now, it's like fixing a tree, but you'd put the wound dressing on. You've sliced it down, you know, like with a little axe or a little hand axe, and cutting that sideways and slicing it off. Just trying to show a couple suggestions. Now, you know what kind of maple it is?
I'm not really sure. It's, I think it's a sugar maple.
Okay. Either way, Mark, if you're covering or if you're cutting, compensate. Go ahead this fall and or this spring and do a little feeding. What you're going to do is if you feed, you think, boy, I'm just going to encourage more roots. Mark, what you're going to do is encourage more deep roots. And if you get those roots.
Because they do, you know, then they're growing into the, it's out in the front of the yard, and then it's even going underneath the sidewalk and, you know, going into our main yard. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if there's a good feeding on it, you know, you could do some Espoma tree tone and then an earth auger. You go down the little earth augers we sell are 1 inch wide, 12 inches long, or 15 inches long. You can drill down into the ground and then pour about a half cup in each hole going around the tree. All you're trying to do is encourage deep root feeding, and those roots will follow where that fertilizer is.
Okay.
A lot of times if you have surface roots, all they're trying to do is breathe and continue to come up to the top.
All right. That's all I wanted. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck, Mark.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Mark. And we have Lois in Kalamazoo on the line. Lois, good morning to you.
Lois, how are you?
Hi, Andy.
Can I be of help?
I've just got a question. I was in Crane Park. I'm sure you remember when Crane Park was an awful lot prettier than it is today.
That's for sure, ma'am.
From all the flowers.
Oh, my. Yes.
But anyway, I went to check to see if the bulbs had come up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no sign of them that I don't know whether they died or whether they got pulled. But anyway, I was asking a gardening person who happened to be there, and she didn't know either. How long does a bulb last? Like those bulbs, those bulbs came up year after year after year after year. How long what's the life of a bulb? Like a tulip or daffodil?
You know what, Lois? That is a good question. Daffodils will actually multiply. Being a narcissus family, they'll actually multiply and spread. They actually do better as they multiply and get older. The daffodil will move around. Tulip, hyacinth, totally different. The energy, Lois, will be on year one, then a little less on year two. Now, if Kalamazoo County took care of Crane Park years ago, maybe did some feeding, that where you maybe see tulips coming up year after year for quite a few years. But, Lois, as they start, the energy starts going down each year. Foliage is not there. Energy is not there. If the green foliage isn't there, then the bulb actually starts decreasing. And slowly but surely, just like at our store, you'll see leftover bulbs, or like in your yard, they'll come up, but they won't flower. They'll just have a big leaf on them, Lois, coming out of the ground. That's where that bulb is almost spent. Now, as it died, you dig it up, and you probably see the mother bulb with a whole bunch of little babies off the side, and it's trying to reproduce. But that little baby or the mother bulb can't anymore. So a lot of times, 3 to 5 years, you might see a life expectancy out of a tulip. More like 3 years at Waddell's. I'm not being mean, but each year, Lois, we pull them or kill them. So we make sure every year we have a good bulb presentation. A lot of times, like, you can't rely on tulips year after year after year, Lois, compared to daffodils. Daffodils, sometimes they'll last for generations.
I was glad to find out that there's a gardening group mm-hmm. that has taken over the planting and care of Crane Park. So it'll be a pretty park again.
Nice. I was.
It may take a while, but
yeah, I was up on West Nitch Hill, and I drove last fall through Crane Park just to grab a quick bite up there, and I was a little astounded also. I remember as a kid and being down at the tennis courts and totally changed. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And Weddell's used to be at the bottom of the hill.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, Lois, thank you for the bulb question.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Some good calls this morning. And who do we have on the line now but Kathy in Portage. Good morning, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Andy. My question last week, you had mentioned to go out and feed our bulbs, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, and I don't trim back the green, even though most of them have spent.
Mm-hmm.
But can we trim back the flowers that have died off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get rid of those. Sometimes the tulip just kind of falls away, and it's got that big stem on the top. That stem, Kathy, will actually turn to seed. And if you can get rid of that, you don't want seed of a tulip. You really, that top head will still grow a little bit more. And so, yes, if you can relieve that in any daffodil or hyacinth flower, go ahead and cut that off. In a little bit, Kathy, they're kind of unsightly.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can start planting around them. Leave that foliage. I used to kind of do it in a two-stage, Kathy. I'd cut all the top off, plant all the annuals, leave all the hyacinth and tulip foliage, let the annuals grow around it, and really by the time the annuals kicked in, the flower foliage started to die back on the bulb. By the time it withered, I'd cut it back, and then the annuals were grown full.
Okay. And did in feeding bulbs, did that include irises?
Oh, my, yeah. Yeah. Now, okay. Irises is probably not considered a bulb, more considered a rhizome, but wouldn't matter a bit. I would say that would be choice. If you're doing the hyacinths and daffodils and tulips, go ahead and do the iris at the same time. Wouldn't hurt it a bit.
Okay, great. Andy, thank you for your help.
Yeah, good luck on that.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Kathy. And now we have Christy in Richland. Christy, good morning.
Christy, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Can I be of help in Richland today?
Well, I hope so. Is it too late for me to cut back my butterfly bushes?
Christy, you are not. I'm not laughing at you at all. That's what our my younger son and our maintenance did yesterday and Thursday at the store. Those butterfly bush, Christy, are beat to death from this winter. We have some big old ones at Waddell's, and we cut back to 6, then we cut back to 4, then we cut back to 3, 2, 1. There was almost no green wood left, Christy. And so you'd be surprised. Chances are the roots are going to be alive, but we had huge butterfly bush take a real beating. They are considered, we should almost, Christy, think of them as butterfly perennial bush because the tops sometimes die back. So get rid of that old wood. You might see down at the base, Christy, some of the new shoots coming up, but cut. Take a look. If you can see green wood, leave it there. You might have to cut almost to the ground to find that that butterfly bush being alive down at the base.
Wow.
Yeah, this winter, really, you start getting our farm registered where we grow between 22 and 24 below a couple of days. You get a lot of days that are 10 degrees to 20 degrees below. Butterfly bush is hardy, but it's almost, Christy, like hydrangeas. The top might die, but the roots might stay alive.
Yeah, I think, well, the roots were pretty well insulated by a big pile of snow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just hoping that it wasn't too late where if it was still totally viable that I'd be cutting off, you know, so too much so that it wouldn't bloom this year. But I just want to make sure that it'll still bloom and be pretty again.
Christy, it will. They are a summer bloomer. And a lot of times if you see a butterfly bush in bloom at the garden center in the spring, it's because it's been in a hot house. So they are really late June, July, August bloomers. So you cut, they're going to put out leaves before they put out flowers. So hard prune means lots of leaves, meaning plenty of flower. So cut it back hard. That's my mom took her butterfly bush every year right down to the ground, butchered it probably to 12 to 18 inches. We mulched it real heavy, and they'd come back every year, no problem.
Oh, well, that sounds very encouraging then.
Yeah. I think, Chris, you're saying the snow load is the insulation. I think that is a good That's all I had on mine this winter. But if you have a chance next year, throw a bag of cedar mulch or cypress mulch over the top of it. You'll get better insulation.
Oh, okay, I'll do that too.
All right, Christy.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
All right, thanks much for the call, Christy. We'll be right back with Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. If you have a question, 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280.
Gorgeous landscape plants are arriving daily at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, where you'll enjoy browsing greenhouses stocked full of beautiful bloomers. For instant color on decks and patios, check out the huge selection of annuals in containers and hanging baskets. Some beautiful choices you'll love include tropical oleander, mandevilla, Mexican petunias, hibiscus, and other bright bloomers that will add beauty to your outdoor living area. For color that comes back every year, check out Waddell's perennial selection. There are over 800 varieties to choose from for both sunny and shady gardens. Some favorites that are either blooming now or getting ready to bloom are bleeding hearts, columbines, peonies, and iris. Have you longingly looked at rose gardens thinking you'd never have time to care for rose bushes? Try the new Drift Roses from Waddell's. They bloom all season, are very low maintenance, and come in peach, pink, or red. Need some color for a shady area? Some herb plants for healthy cooking? Some flowers to cut for bouquets? Something that's short for a border? You'll find the plants that will fit the bill at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
And we are back. It is 9:38. Once again, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Andy.
Thank you, everybody. And I'm just going to comment on Christy's last call in Richland about the butterfly bush. There are a lot of things, guys, that have been really hit harder. We've been very fortunate the last few years. We have mild winters that are just down to zero or so and mild snow cover. This winter was an extreme. So we might want to take a look. I was at a client's house. Butterfly bush is one. Roses were another. A heavy beating. A lot of people that were normally just letting the roses go. You got to probably think next year I should probably heal my roses in. And like my grandfather used to say, healing a rose is piling up cedar mulch mixed with soil or coca mulch mixed with soil, something that's going to add to a mound that will keep those stems over winter mulched in. When you have just snow, it's freeze-thaw. It's really hard on some of these sensitive plants like butterfly bush, macrophylia hydrangea. So we can just go to the phone just trying to help her with her butterfly bush for next year, Larry.
You got it, Andy. Looks like we have Kathy in Mattawan on the line. Kathy, good morning to you.
Hey, Kathy, how
are you? Good morning.
Can I be of
help?
Very
good. I have a rhododendron bush, and it's big and scraggly, and I was wondering if I could trim that back.
You bet, Kathy. You are actually hitting a optimal time. If you look, that plant really, you're describing, very gangly. Gets a lot of big, thick wood underneath, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you're thinking, man, how would I ever get that plant to bloom? So you're going to have to do it in a little stages. But if you look down on that stem, you will find little buds, and they will be dormant, Kathy. They will not leaf out unless you cut the top. And you can't cut the whole thing, but I'd suggest try to take selectively. Look at the plant and do it half this year and half next year. The first half, go ahead and select and go ahead and trim a lot of those leaves off. You're trimming off flower, and it's okay, especially if you're trying to revive the plant. Look at those stems. Work your way down that plant, and here and there, leave a branch that you've left four or five nice leaves on. Some of the branches you can cut way back, and you can find some of those bud unions that will then pop back out. The next year, then do the other half, looking at what you've cut the first year and relieving the other portion of the plant, cutting that back. The idea is if you butcher the whole thing, being a broadleaf evergreen, it's got to have leaves on it, Kathy, for it to create photosynthesis or for the sunlight to get energy for it to leaf out, compared to like a dogwood or a lilac, which you could just butcher right to the ground and it'd probably come back. You got to leave some leaves on that plant. So do it in little stages. You'll find those little buds or little nobules will be right along that brown wood or that rhododendron. And you might even have a loppers or pruners or even a handsaw you're cutting into that plant. Now, how big is it, Kathy?
It's probably 8 feet tall and maybe 4 feet wide.
Oh, yeah. So look at that, maybe, Kathy. because it's 8 foot, maybe look at the 5 foot level or so. You know, look at that plant down in that range, not maybe 1 or 2 or 3 feet, but medium size, you might find some bud unions that are wanting to pop. And if the leaves got away, the sunlight can get in, you might see that plant flush back out. Number two, when you do a hard prune on rhododendron, Kathy, you got to make sure, because they're fibrous root, I know we've had some rain, make sure it does not dry out. It's going to want some moisture in May and June. And then next week, we might start seeing some warmth, but make sure you do a little water and maybe like a little holly tone on it. It's good for rhododendron, and that way you can push out that new growth after you've done that pruning.
Thank you very much.
You bet, huh? Good luck on that, Kathy. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
A lot interesting.
Yeah. Well, Larry, on the Westnich store years ago, we had a house right across the street. Just was beautiful rhododendron, and they were all gangly and laying over. And every spring after the flowers came, they'd be almost laying on the ground. And finally, just one day, a lady was out in the yard, and I said, can I show you just what we're talking about? And a few years later, they popped right back. And a lot of it is just a nice hard prune, but not going crazy on it. Just a mild prune back on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the timing, a lot of it is when you have a dewy spring, you're going to have moisture in the ground. You do a pruning now, next couple weeks start getting warmth, whoosh, out come the new growth. So, you want to go back to that plant lust real quick, Larry?
Yes, we. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break.
Oh, sorry. I'm jumping ahead.
No, that's fine. Let's check out plant lust in just a second.
No problem, everybody.
The best things in the world grow better with Dairy Dew. Available locally at Widell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center.
And we're back. You've heard what Dairy Dew can do for your trees and gardens, but did you know it can help grow a healthy family too? The microbiological life in chemical-free Dairy Dew breaks down nutrients and gently feeds them to the roots of your plants, so your family gets healthy, homegrown, natural fruits and vegetables. So let's review. Healthy families come from healthy food, and healthy food comes from healthy plants, and, well, you know the rest.
Healthy plants come from healthy soil. Healthy soil comes from Dairy Dew.
From Morgan Composting.
Get the scoop on Dairy Dew at Widell's. All organic Dairy Dew products have just arrived at Widell's, including planting mixes, potting soils, lawn food, and more all-organic choices. Pick up a bag today and learn more at Widell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Mill and 12th Street. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And welcome back, Andy. We were going to cover plant lust, yes.
yep. And I know we're running out of time, but it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neat to see what a joy it is to see new energy with new plants being introduced every year. We have from hybridizers to seed collectors around the world coming in to try to find the newest, the best, the new flower. And we're very fortunate. Plant lust propels countless hybrid crossings that will make gardeners say, man, I've just got to have that. Well, we've got one of those companies right here in Michigan. And we've talked about P.L. and Smith coming about a month ago to Waddell's, Larry.
Uh-huh.
And that's part of that Proven Winners program. That is an awesome lineup grown in Grand Haven, Michigan. Waddell's has 59 varieties of Proven Winners. So stop into Waddell's sometimes. Let's discuss plant lust. Maybe you can walk through today and get a little breath of spring there when you walk through.
So, okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks very much, Andy. And this has been Over the Garden Fence with Andy Wigel. Join us next Saturday morning after the 9 o'clock news for Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. Coming up next, your financial planner.